Hi, I'm Maddie Orton for the Jersey Arts Podcast. Involvement in New Jersey Youth Symphony, a program of Wharton Arts in Union County, is not just about honing musical technique. It's also about developing life skills. Many of the organization's alumni have gone on to careers performing with the likes of the New York Philharmonic, teaching the next generation of artists, or managing major musicians. But most have applied the leadership skills, collaborative spirit, and work ethic developed at New Jersey Youth Symphony to other fields and areas of life. On Sunday, May 5th, all of these alumni are invited back to listen to and perform with New Jersey Youth Symphony at their 45th anniversary concert held at NJ PAC. And founding music director and conductor, George Mariner Maul, will be back for the first time to guest conduct part of the concert. I spoke with Maul and Wharton Arts Artistic Director and Principal Conductor Helen Chapio about New Jersey Youth Symphony's history, arts education philosophy, and upcoming anniversary concert. Take a listen. Helen, George, thank you so much for joining me today. I really appreciate your time.
Thank you for having us.
45 years is quite the accomplishment. Congratulations. Let's start with George and a little bit about the beginning of New Jersey Youth Symphony. For people who aren't familiar, what does the organization do? And what was the idea behind it? Because, you know, kids are getting the opportunity, hopefully, in school as well, but this is an additional opportunity to really hone their craft.
In the summer of 1979, a group of parents from Union County, communities like Summit, Westfield, New Providence, went to the New Jersey Symphony Orchestra, the state's leading premier professional orchestra in Newark, and said, "We would like to start a youth symphony program for our kids. They are involved in their school orchestras, but we want to give them something more than what they can get there, and also have them be with other musicians who are very talented." So they went to the New Jersey Symphony and asked them if they would help, and they said, "Sure, we will do this. And we'll have our assistant conductor do the honors of being the first music director." The only problem was I hadn't been engaged yet to be the assistant conductor.
What do you mean?
Well, they didn't have an assistant conductor at that moment. The previous one had retired from the orchestra. So I got a call from the music director of the New Jersey Symphony, and he said, "Come over to Newark. I want to talk to you." And at that lunch, he offered me the position of assistant conductor of the New Jersey Symphony, which I was very happy to take. And then he said, in almost the same breath, "You can conduct a youth orchestra, can't you?" And I said, "I think so. Which one?" And he said, "It doesn't exist yet."
Oh, that's exciting. So how did you sort of get that first group of kids, and what were those first years like?
I thought this could be pretty tricky, truth be known, but the New Jersey Symphony put the power of its marketing department behind this effort. And so whereas I was afraid there might be two violins and four trombones who show up at the audition, the first audition, about 95 young people playing all the orchestral instruments showed up.
Wow.
And we selected an initial orchestra of 65 of them to be the New Jersey Youth Symphony.
Wow. And at the time, what did that experience offer students that they weren't getting in school?
Well, it offered the opportunity to be with other really talented students. I mean, you had to pass the audition to get into this orchestra. So all of the kids who showed up were, in many cases, some of the best players in their own high school orchestras, which meant that we could do the regular symphonic repertoire with these people, which could not be done in their high schools. We could do symphonies and concertos and tone poems and what have you. So it was very exciting to have this group of young people be so talented and prepared for this experience. And we also included in their instruction theory classes so that they learned more about music theory, and also classes in how to listen to classical music.
Oh, that's interesting. And I guess that's sort of a nuance that you're not necessarily getting in the classroom.
No, you most certainly do not necessarily learn how to listen to classical music in school. You may get some music theory, you may, but not how to listen to it from an aesthetic standpoint, how it will make you feel when you listen to this very carefully.
When you're teaching students how to listen to classical music, what does that entail? What are you pointing out to them or telling them to listen for?
Well, there are two things that always happen at our presentations. The first is we try to create an aha around the difference between listening and hearing. When we listen to something, we are there completely present with our entire being. All our faculties are focused on the musical sounds. When we hear music, it's in the background. Hmm. It's where music normally is in our life. It's everywhere. It's being electronically amplified in the supermarket, in the doctor's waiting office, on the phone, on hold. It's everywhere. The only problem with that development technologically in our human society is that it has trained generations of people in the industrialized world not to listen to music.
Hmm.
It's just there, like sonic wallpaper, accompanying every activity in their life. And that's okay. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. But when someone like Mozart writes a piece of music, he expects us to listen to every sound from the first one all the way to the end. So anyway, to accomplish this, I often will tease the audiences. Basically, we ask them to identify, for instance, when the trombones play next. Okay, so we'll play some music for them, but we say, okay, now raise your hands when the trombones play, and then we'll intentionally play a piece of music in which the trombones don't play at all.
Okay.
And of course, when I ask, I didn't see any hands go up. You know, people start complaining, well, I didn't hear the trombones. And I said, that's right, because we intentionally didn't let you listen to them. I said, and then I go into my little sermon about the difference between listening and hearing. Now, once you decide, and it has to be a conscious decision, once you decide to give your undivided attention to musical sounds, then there are all sorts of facets of this music that we can notice. So that was a particular issue for me. I felt that was important for them. And so we incorporated it right from the start.
Helen, you're the artistic director of Wharton Arts. There are several different facets of Wharton Arts, including New Jersey Youth Symphony. Can you tell me about sort of the different areas that the organization covers?
Sure. So I can kind of piggyback where George left off. So in 2012, New Jersey Youth Symphony came under Wharton Music Center. And then in 2013, Patterson Music Project was founded. And then 2 years ago, New Jersey Youth Chorus came under the umbrella of Wharton Arts. And so now we have 4 programs. So total, we have about 2,000 students. And we have close to 100 artistic staff that are, you know, anywhere from teaching artists to conductors to private teachers to coaches. And kind of going back to the root of the New Jersey Youth Symphony, we still have many, many New Jersey Symphony professional musicians who coach our ensembles. So we have 15 ensembles. Now we have 3 string orchestras of young students, 3 symphony orchestras, and we have 3 flute ensembles. We have 2 percussion ensembles, 3 jazz ensembles, as well as a clarinet ensemble and young wind band, so concertino winds, we call them, as well as chamber ensembles. So it's a really robust, 7-day-a-week kind of operation here at Wharton Arts.
And after 45 years of all of these different ages and subsections, you must have so many alumni at this point.
Right. I mean, we have actually reached out to 45 years of alumni, although the database isn't all that great. You know, this was before the computer age. Right?
Sure.
If you are out there listening, New Jersey Youth Symphony alumni, please come back to us the month of May, because we have a chair and a music stand set out for you. Just bring your instrument and your, eagerness and happy memories.
I love that. That is so inclusive. So alumni who go to the concert can also play in the concert?
Yes. So let me kind of tell you about this exciting 45th anniversary month. I know we are really focused on May 5th, where George is going to be there to conduct the grand finale piece with alumni as well as our current Youth Symphony students. But that's, Sunday afternoon on May 5th at 3:00 at NJ PAC. And there we're going to be featuring the 3 symphony orchestras. So we have Philharmonia, and then we have Youth Orchestra, and then we have Youth Symphony, all playing two pieces each. So one piece, they're playing by themselves. And then the second work, we have invited various alumni to come and join that particular orchestra. And then we also have jazz orchestra, and jazz big band program has been instituted, you know, like upon my coming around 5 years ago. And we are fastly growing, and we have a really wonderful jazz orchestra. And this year we honored George at our gala, giving him the education award, because he's still out there educating the public how to listen to classical music and really be engaged. And so, and he's coming back to conduct our orchestra, but also we had a Lifetime Achievement Awardee, Rufus Reed, jazz bassist, who's going to be performing his two compositions with our NJYS Jazz Orchestra.
In terms of all these alumni, so you'll have alumni come back to the concert, hopefully, and play along. I assume you've had a lot of alumni who have gone on to illustrious careers in this area, but maybe some alumni who take what they've learned and apply it to something else entirely, right?
I think that most of the kids do not go into music. It's a much smaller percentage of our students who actually decide to become professional musicians. And that's understandable, because it's a very challenging thing to do. But I think all of them take into their life from then on the discipline, the camaraderie, the knowing how important it is for us all to be united when we're performing. They take that into their lives.
Sure. And I assume also, you know, time management, leadership skills. I know music is very correlated with math as well. So I assume that really no matter what career these kids go into, their experience in the orchestra will help them.
We have about anywhere between 5% to 6% every year who might go into a conservatory or a school of music out of youth orchestra experience. And that's probably about the reasonable kind of percentage all across throughout the country here. And, you know, it is really, music education doesn't always produce the best players, and that's not really the outcome that we're really looking for. Its outcome is eventually, you know, we produce excellent people, people who are aware, people with some, you know, empathy, more empathy than maybe the children who have never played in an ensemble. You know, when you play in an orchestra, I always say it's kind of like a little laboratory for life. All of the life skills that you need to be a good citizen and good neighbor and good person, you can learn in an orchestra, band, chorus, you name it, any large ensemble, because you are an important part of the big picture. You are the picture is not complete without you, even if you are the 20th or the 40th violin in that orchestra. So it's never the same. And also, we have to listen to each other more than just our own sound. You know, we have to blend, we have to be in tune, we have to know what the tuba is doing, what note that note is, so that when I play my note, that it is in sync with it, harmoniously in tune with the foundation of the chord. I mean, there's just numerous things. And also, I think the leadership people kind of say that, and then when you really dissect it, how is it that you learn leadership as an orchestral player? You know, for the string sections, obviously there's an obvious leader. There's a concertmaster in the front. And then there might be, you know, somebody needs to sit in the back of the section. Now, who's really the leader? I say both, right? You know, leadership can be from the back. Leadership can be from the middle. Leadership can be in the front. So whatever seems to be the most obvious leader alone will not make a good violin section. If that leader sounds the loudest and always kind of playing a little bit early, well, that's a terrible leader, right? Should really be working for the bigger picture and togetherness and the unity of the sound and doing things together because we agreed on that. So I say to all of the string players, you lead from wherever you are. Okay, if you are all taking on that responsibility of, I need to really look around, look, feel the back, look to the front, be aware. And I think awareness is a huge thing. Some people in this society, right, there's just self-awareness isn't quite there. And it's hard to do that If you are an orchestral player, you are fully aware of what your part is and how important it is and what role it plays at a given moment. So you name it, you can, you can really dissect everything that we do in an orchestra to life. And the students, by the time they get to the top level of NJYS, they have kind of unlocked something very special, meaning there's no shortcut. They work their butts off, to be where they are, which means that they work as hard in other aspects of their lives as well. So they know work ethic, right? And there's, either you know how to play this concerto or you don't. There's nothing in between, and the world is there to listen to it. So honesty is number one. At the same time, confidence and having fun and being empathetic to other people, I think those three things make a great performance. And once you experience what you can do as part of a larger entity and you are doing something that's larger than your own self, that's something that you cannot do, it is teaching you that we are so interconnected in this life.
Thank you so much to my guests, George Mariner Mall and Helen Chapiot. New Jersey Youth Symphony's 45th anniversary concert is on Sunday, May 5th at NJPAC. For more information, visit njpac.org or whartonarts.org. If you liked this episode, be sure to give us a review, subscribe, and tell your friends. A transcript of this podcast, as well as links to related content and more about the arts in New Jersey, can be found on jerseyarts.com. The Jersey Arts Podcast is presented by Art Pride New Jersey, advancing a state of creativity since 1986. The show is co-founded by and currently supported by funds from the New Jersey State Council on the Arts, with additional support from the National Endowment for the Arts. This episode was hosted, produced, and edited by yours truly, Maddie Orton. Executive producers are Jim Atkinson and Isaac Cerna-Diaz. Special thanks to the team at New Jersey Youth Symphony. I'm Maddie Orton for the Jersey Arts Podcast. Thanks for listening.